You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to go to newchurches.com/bivo to learn more about our newest course, Bivocational Ministry, that features Hugh Halter, Ed, myself, and a few others. And we just help you understand the nuances of bivocational ministry, both in a church planting and also in an established church, and also in a multi-site context. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Do you ever like tell the people how many people listen to this podcast? I think that's cool. You should tell them.
It is pretty cool. I mean,
so how many people listen? How many people download a podcast?
Well, we've had 500,000 downloads so far. So
500,000.
I mean, that's not.
And what's
what
that
I
in
thought.
Like U.S. numbers? Because that's Canadian. How do you translate that into from kilometers to miles? So there's a lot of people. 500,000. 500,000
yeah.
downloads. So
yeah,
so a typical episode. So
half
how many
million
are we talking
real
to?
Downloads, not yeah. 500,000 pastor downloads.
not pastor downloads, exactly.
Not pastor numbers here.
So what, that was really bad. You just offended all the pastors. So what, it's like this episode, how many people will probably listen to this episode?
Man, it ranges. It ranges from a couple to several thousand people. So
a couple, like two people download some?
A couple thousand to several thousand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah, thousands yeah. of people. So thousands yeah. of people right now are listening to our worthless banter as well. All right.
And they're probably why are you talking about? I'm already convinced. I'm already listening to this. Why are you talking about this?
That is true. That is a good point. It's like you're telling, give us the content. All right, let's do the content. Let's do
yeah.
this.
It's let's listen to the question from Kevin.
When your church is portable, there are obvious benefits to a portable system like volunteer burnout, less rent due to faster setups, et cetera. But what are some of the surprise things people often don't recognize until later?
All right. So this is another one of those questions, Ed, that it's such a nuts and bolts question.
Did you line up all the questions about portable church? Because portable
church
is our sponsor this month.
Kind of. Portable Church is our sponsor for this month, and I wanted to make sure they get some good love. But I mean, these are questions that came in through our normal means. So,
oh, good. So you didn't like set them up. You didn't have your mom call or anything like that. Okay, good.
Not my mom. No,
none of those sounded like your mom. Just for the record, not that I know your mom, but anyway, you get the point. So all right. So if that's the question here is some of the here's I actually
yeah that you don't recognize until later.
Yeah, right, well, so we wrote about this in the book, right? We talked about rental fatigue. Where eventually, I mean, the biggest challenge, you know, when people, you know, the nursery is always, you know, getting the nursery staffed is always a challenge in a church. However, I would say getting that 6 a.m. crew is a challenge. And again, oh gosh, I hate to say something nice about portable church industry since we've kind of gone it over the top, but having that sort of ease of setup is really helpful to reduce the volunteer fatigue that comes. So I think one of the ways we learned to do this is, you know, I would sometimes come in as often as I should, but I bring some donuts. You know, I might be a part of the crew from time to time. We had to rotate. We actually had four crews. And so depending I think it was what week in a month is how we sort of, I wasn't in charge of this. I would come occasionally. But we had to make this, you know, one of the things that, when you have kids, we sort of expect that you would work in the children's ministry at some level. That's sort of a cultural expectation life of the church. And what we would also say, listen, if you go to church, there's kind of a cultural expectation you'd take a turn once in a while to help us with setup and tear down. So I think the challenge of repeated recruitment is something that a lot of people forget about. So what else?
Because it is tiring to get the trailer out. And my previous church, we didn't park on site. I mean, we had to actually rent a facility that was tall enough that would house our truck and all our equipment, you know, our trailer and all that stuff. But once again, it had to be picked up, whether it was icy, you know, it was icy weather, or it was pitch dark, or it was sunny. I mean, every week we had to take that trailer out and drive it to our location. So there is rental fatigue. Now, on the flip side, I have had volunteers that really loved doing it. Like it was like that was their ministry.
That was their deal.
And they loved it. They were actually, some people were like, hey, I don't want you doing this every week, but they just loved it so much that they were just always there. Now, the on the flip side, when you go from portable to a permanent location, you have to really think about all of those positions and what you're going to do with those people who've been volunteering for a year, several years at that point, because you're not going to have the whole setup, teardown crew anymore. Now, if you don't think about it, if you don't prepare them, if you don't help them get plugged in, then just naturally, because of fatigue, they're just going to be like, you know what, this is great. I don't need to do this anymore. I'm just going to become a pew sitter. And then they're really going to engage into a long period of just not serving, not volunteering. And possibly that even may cause them to be less plugged in to the church because they don't feel as needed. They don't feel as much a part of it. So you have to think about that, because it's not, honestly, it's not just about, hey, we're in a temporary location because our real goal is to go into a permanent location. No, there's a lot of churches that have actually intentionally said, we want to be in a temporary location intentionally as a part of our strategy. But if you do transition to a permanent one, you have to think about your volunteers.
Yeah, no question. And what I'd say, and I'm trying to really nuance this in kind of, not on a podcast where thousands of people listen. I've said this in conversations before, even in conferences, but you know, I'm about to say something bad, don't you? I would also say there are sometimes people who maybe you can't get involved in other ministries or places of service, that you give them a black shirt for the setup crew and kind of join the roadies. I mean, they really love this. Now, again, not everyone's that way. So if you are formerly part of a setup crew in a church that I've planted, I love you. This is not at all anything critical, because there's all kinds of people. We used to have our elders took, you know, my doctor was one of our elders, and he was always involved in a setup group. But there are sometimes, this is a great place for sometimes people that need to have an important role. This is an important role, but maybe this is one of the roles that they can do when there's maybe not a whole lot of other roles that they can do in other contexts, if that makes sense. So this might be ultimately what they do.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think we can forget the benefits that serving has on your faith and how that impacts your faith. Right. So, I mean, even when it comes to my recent book, No Silver Bullets, when I was talking about a church's discipleship pathway, and I was talking about, hey, what does it look like for you to help your congregation grow in their faith, right? 365 days a year, everywhere, in the everything, for the everyday. Part of that, it's not always about what you as a church can offer program-wise, but it's about helping your congregation become self-feeders. And one of the ways that self-feeding happens is by doing what Jesus did, which was, hey, to serve and not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So serving, as we discovered in the transformational discipleship research that LifeWire Research did, there's a huge correlation between those who serve and, maturing in other aspects of their faith. So in a portable location, there definitely are an increased number of volunteer positions that can help people in that.
Yeah, it sounds exactly right. And you know, all that being said, just know that it's hard to get this ongoing recruiting role. You just have somebody who's going to have to be a Pied Piper consistently asking. We actually, and again, people's theological constructs are different here, but we actually had a deacon, deacon of setup. And that became, because it's such an ongoing area that needed attention, we need a leader that was somebody who could work hard at it and gather and recruit people on an ongoing basis. And so we elevated it to that level so that the pastors could, I mean, think Acts chapter 6, could spend their time not neglecting the word and prayer. We had a deacon who, I mean, I don't know what more fits the definition of a deacon than something like this. And it worked out well for us.
Yeah. And even when you're considering developing a leadership pipeline in your church, this is actually one of the best places to, let's say you have that brand new seminary student, or you have someone who's eager beaver, right? They're brand new to the church. They're like, oh, look at what I've done in the past, or I used to teach here, or I led a Sunday school class for 30 years, and what can I do here? And you have a lot of these individuals who are like, whether in a new plant or a new campus, they want to get involved, but you need to test their character, right? You need to know, are they on board? Do they have our values? And honestly, in your leadership pipeline, one of the best places to test individuals' characters is just by saying, hey, that's great. Can you just volunteer for the next couple of weeks on this team? Or can you get plugged in here and begin serving? Because that's where we have a need. And then let's connect again after a month and see what's best, the best use of your time. And not to just I say that because it's a great place to test their character and their response, but I'm not saying to do that and hold your cards to your chest, right? I'm saying, hey, I'd love for you to help out and serve because this is where we need people immediately. But then you can say, but let's have a conversation in a couple weeks about where else you can be serving and utilizing your giftedness to the max. But can you just help out for the next couple weeks here? And then there's a lot you can glean from that may actually take a couple of years to discover because you just haven't spent the time with them.
Yeah, that's a good word. So opportunities here abound as both training ground, proving ground, opportunity for people maybe who don't fit into maybe some other context, opportunity for deacon ministry. But back to your original question, I just think this is going to be a bigger deal than most people think. This becomes it rises sometimes to the level of like children ministry. You're always recruiting somebody and two, be careful not to. I would say one of the things people often do is they say, we only need this for a couple of years. And a lot of times then 6 years later, what they've done is they've caused people to kind of check out after 2 years. So don't just say we're going to be here as long as we need to be, as long as God wants us to be here. And we need this to be a vital part of the ministry of our church through set up and tear down.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word. And our sponsor for this month, in light of this conversation, as we mentioned earlier, is portablechurch.com. Be sure to check them out because I love this tagline they have. They can help you find a real-time solution to your real-time anxieties as it relates to renting in a portable facility. And I felt that personally, and I loved how Portable Church has helped my church in that as well. All right. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.